Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this fellowship, Lord God. We thank you for the coming together to hear and review your word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I ask, as always, as I decrease, you would increase in me to teach your people your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your will would be preeminent and our only priority, Lord God, that it would be to serve you. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go through the scripture, we ask that you forgive us, that you cleanse us, and that you teach us and train us, raise us up to be all that we need to be in Christ Jesus. And all those that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are in Psalms chapter 18 still, starting at verse 25. Psalms 18:25. I just wanted to talk to you for a minute and kind of open up things. We are at a place in life and at a place in time where the things that we say has got to stop being the reason that we do. And the things that people say have got to stop being the reason that we believe in them. We need to learn how to see the fruit that is on the tree. The orange tree does not ever have to speak a word to us to show us that it is an orange tree, because we know the tree by the fruit. Likewise, the apple, likewise, the grapevine, also the bramble bush, because it has thorns. The fig tree also, all of them. Because we can tell the fruit that is on it. And so we have got to start reading the fruit that is on people. We ain't got to get loud about it. We ain't got to boast about it. But we got to call each tree for what sort it is, as it reads in the scripture. So we're starting at verse 25. It says, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. With the froward, thou shalt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but thou wilt bring down the high looks. So when he's talking about the high looks, he is basically talking about the outlook, the picture that we paint with our tongues. The things that we say with our tongues, our mouths. And you have to understand that six of these things the Lord hates. Seven of them are an abomination to him. If you will turn your Bibles with me, I didn't think I was going nowhere, but thank you, Holy Spirit, to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Let me see where I'm at.
16.
Yes, we're starting at 16, verse 16. The scripture reads, these 16 doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Look, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that divideth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So you got to take a look at these things, and you got to see what they are. Each one of these things I submit to you is presented with the tongue. A person that looks proud. Of course, if he holds his head up and he holds his neck straight and he walks around like he's all aloof and everything, then that's a proud look. But it's more about the things that he says with his mouth. He paints a proud outlook with his tongue. Then, of course, a lying tongue is a lying tongue. See? With your mouth. Hands that shed innocent blood. The only innocent blood that I know, because all men is born in sin, shaping in iniquity, even children. The only blood that I know that is innocent is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about another brother, and we come against that brother, and we shed the innocent blood of Christ that was shed for that brother or shed for that individual, and we come against him, we are putting Christ back up on the cross and nailing him to open shame. And we do that often with our mouths. We come against people like that. When we, it says feet, 18, a heart that divided wicked imagination. What are you saying to yourself in your heart? Are you devising the demise of someone? Are you sitting there thinking wickedly? Are you sitting there talking about, I'm not going to deal with that person, and they belong to God? Really? What if God decided he's not going to deal with you because it's something you did? Where would we be? Where would we be? Then let's go to the next one. Feet that be swift to running into mischief. Usually when it says feet, it's talking about more than one, a pair of them at least, but they are swift to running into mischief. Usually when there's a group of people, which feet is plural, not foot, feet. When people are running in a group, they say, come on, let's go over here and do this. Come on, let's go over there and do that. Come on, man, let's go over here and rob this. Come on, man, let's go get high on that. Come on. Feet, they just swift to running into mischief. See, all of these can be done with the tongue. A false witness, because his the words that are coming out of his mouth is lies. He's witnessing and speaking lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. How do we sow discord among the brethren? With our mouths. So all these things is with our mouths. And the reason why I need to read this, because that goes right in line, if we're going back to the 27th verse of chapter 18 of Psalms, it says, thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. So we paint a high look of ourselves and a high moral standard with our mouths as though we have never done anything wrong, not considering that we need to be merciful to those who have done wrong. Because if you are merciful, then you will receive mercy. If you are upright, then you should be able to share uprightness. See, if you're good, then you should be able to share good. If you're holy, then you should be able to show holiness. If you can't show them things, then that's because you're not the things.
Yes.
Are you seeing what I'm saying? You're just not that. And we got to quit. This is not to condemn anybody. This is not to tear anybody down. This is to bring the truth of the witness to a person's face. You know what? I was not merciful to that lady when she irritated me. And so because I didn't operate in mercy, why do I expect God to give me mercy?
That's right.
I didn't operate in holiness when I went off on them. Where was the holiness there? When they pissed me off and I got mad and I told them I would beat all they. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where was my godliness then? Where was my uprightness then? Because it has to do, the truth of our standard has nothing to do with us going to church. It has everything to do with how we treat our fellow man, our brethren, our sisters, our children, our kids, our grandparents, our family. How we treat people is the testimony of who we are and how much Jesus we got. See, that's the reality. That's the reality, and we can't go around that. So when he says in 25, with the merciful, thou wilt show mercy. Show thyself merciful. So with those who are merciful, I will show myself merciful. Those who need mercy, I will show myself merciful. Those who desire mercy, I will show myself merciful. Those that are longing for mercy, I will show myself merciful. See? With an upright man, thou will show thyself upright. So when I know somebody is trying to walk in his integrity, then I'm not going to come against him. I'm going to walk in my integrity and encourage him to do better. You see what I'm saying? This is the way this thing works. So that no man can ever point a finger at nobody else and say this, that, and the other, or come against anybody else who's not doing, or this church is not doing that, but this church is. And I don't want to belong to this church. I'd rather belong to the Catholic Church because of this. Or I don't want to belong to that church. You're just doing the same thing. Now you're just doing it to churches. Instead of doing it to individuals, now you're doing it to whole bodies of believers. When the scripture clearly says, Jesus said himself, they that seek after righteousness shall be filled. They're just not there yet. See, so we have to stand in the place where we understand what we're talking about, who it is we're talking about, and why we're in this position. It says, for in 27, for thou will save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For God is looking for those who are afflicted to save them. But people who have a high outlook, or higher moral compass than everybody else, which is totally, it's just totally impossible. Mm-hmm. How do you have a higher moral compass than any other man when we was all born in sin and shaping in iniquity? I don't get it. But still, because we bring that, you're going to be brought down. Scripture says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord, my God, will enlighten my darkness. 29, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over walls. So by thee, O Lord, the Lord is my, will enlighten me. The Lord is my candle. He is my light, and he is my darkness. When I'm caught up, he is my light, and he is my darkness. And if you ever get a chance, we don't need to go there, but if you ever look at Isaiah chapter 45, and I don't know what verse, but in that chapter, he clearly says, God says, I created light, and I created darkness. By creating a light and allowing sin to come apart, God also created the darkness.
That's right. So, yeah. Verse 7.
Verse 7. So God is over all of it.
I form the light and create darkness.
Yes.
I make peace and create evil.
Yes. So whenever there's peace, there's an opposite. Hey, boo-boo. Whenever there's light, there's darkness. But if you pay attention, God said, the light shines and the darkness comprehends it not. So the darkness doesn't understand. The light understands. So if you're walking in the light and you are the light of God, bringing the light into the darkness, then you ought to see that. So when the scripture says, Lord, my God will enlighten my darkness, he will enlighten, bring light into the dark place. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Do you lean on him? Because it's all about, it's not about us in a denomination. It is about you and your relationship with God. If you're looking for religion, then you need denomination. See, if you're looking for relationship, then you just need God. And that's where people lose it. And you can blame everything else because that's what you don't want. You don't want relationship in him because you're not going to be able to do the things that you used to do. He goes on to say 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to those that trust in him. So, as for God, his way is perfect. Do we know that? Do we understand that? Well, then, let's examine that. If I know the ways of the Lord is perfect, and I know the ways of the Lord is holy, I know the ways of the Lord is righteous. I know that he has sanctified them and he has set them in the earth. I know that that is what I must follow. Then why do I lean to my own understanding?
Amen.
Because maybe I'm painting a picture of trusting the Lord with my mouth. And when it comes actually to my heart leaning toward the things of God, of the Lord, it ain't there. Maybe it's where I desire to be, and I'm just not there yet. There's all kind of reasons why. But we can get concentrated and concerned about our condition more than the position that God is trying to get us to. We need to keep looking towards the position so that we'll understand where we're going. No man leaves from one side of the country and goes to the other without a map. Nobody. You have to know where your destination is. You set a plan, you set a course, you set a destination. Well, there's the same thing in relationship with God. What is your destination? And your destination, I'm not talking about your destination leaving the earth and going to heaven, because every man's destination is the same. Either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Period. Everybody's going to live eternally. You'll live eternally in darkness or you'll live eternally in the light. Period. So that's already settled for all of mankind. But what about the road that you take while you're in this earth? if your goal is to get to the other side of the country, then you gotta understand what states you're going through. You don't want to get to the other side of the country leaving from California, going all the way to New York, but then you go by way of Alaska. That's stupid. Because that's truly leaning on your own understanding. It's not following the way of the Lord. We want to follow holiness. We want to follow righteousness. We want to stay in right standing. And oftentimes, I don't know about you guys, but I often disappoint myself. Hey, while we're here, let me just open up the can of worms. Okay, while we're here. You know, I often disappoint myself because people have a premise about sin and about struggle that is not God's. The Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Amen.
The first part of that cord is belief. The second part of that cord is deliverance. The third part of that cord is healing. Thank you, Lord. He just fed me. We go in there. Okay. So, the first part of that cord is belief. If you don't believe in God, that He is all sufficient and able to accomplish above all that you can think and ask, then it's never going to happen for you because it takes Him to do it. You cannot follow your own course. See? And number one. Number two, once you ask Him to deliver you from something, He will deliver you from it, but you don't get the healing. When He delivers it, He takes you from this place and sets you over here to that place. And now you're no longer standing in the place where you need deliverance. But where a lot of people fall and slip back and they go back is because they keep trying to go back to the same place, trying to find their healing, where He has moved you from the place of that to this place. You've been delivered, but you keep trying to go back to get your healing.
Amen.
And that's where you make your mistake. Then He takes you to the place of healing, where you start to heal and transform and be moved by Him and touched by Him special. And a lot of people don't know that. Well, Pastor, I don't see no scripture of that. Show me a scripture of that. I'm so glad you asked me. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is past Isaiah, right past Isaiah. Keep going at the end. Jeremiah is the next book. I'm so glad you asked me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Chapter 1.
Chapter 1. I'll let you know the verse when I get there.
Thank you, sir.
Starting at verse 9. Well, let me start at 7. It says, "But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send, shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth." Look at this. He said, "See, I have set thee, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms." To do what? To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant.
Amen.
Now look at the way, look at the order of that. Because God has an order. He'll have you in a place where you believe Him to do a job, and He'll have you in the place of deliverance. And in that place of deliverance, He will root out, He will pull down, He will destroy, and He will throw down, and He would have you do it. Once you've done that, He has moved you from the place of deliverance to a place where you could go get your healing. In the healing process, He'll move you somewhere else where you can build and where you can plant. The healing is always in the building. The healing is always in the planting.
Amen.
The healing is not in the rooting out, the tearing down, the pulling down, and then the destroying.
Amen.
That's the deliverance. None of this happens without belief. So that threefold cord is not easily broken. So when you go to the place, you can turn back to Psalms. When you go to the place, where you're not understanding what God is doing, it is only because you don't understand what's before you.
Amen.
We get discouraged with God because he's not operating on our time clock. We get discouraged with God because he's not moving us the way we want to be moved. We get discouraged with God, but we're really quick to jump into other things and open up new doors that's going to trap us up even further.
Yes, sir.
But then we're constantly saying, I want to get out the trap.
Yep.
But you keep opening up new doors that's going to get you trapped.
That's right.
But I'm going to get out the trap. But you keep opening up new doors, it's going to get you out the trap. I don't know what's going on, but something ain't being thrown down. Mm-hmm. Something ain't being pulled down. Something ain't being destroyed. Because you're not letting God complete the deliverance stage. And then once he completes the deliverance stage, he's got to get you to a place where he can heal you. Once he's moved you into a place where he can heal you, then he's going to start to build and he's going to start to plant. See?
Yes.
And as he started to build, people get discouraged in the waiting.
That's right.
People get discouraged in the keeping silent. People want things to happen like yesterday. And that's just not the way life is. See? This is not a microwave Jesus. You just don't pop him in and cut on a couple of seconds and he's fresh like popcorn. This is a time of waiting, a time of endurance. A time of going through. Now, can God do that and just snap his fingers and deliver you? Yes, he can. But where will be your learning? If he did it like that, you're going back to what you went. You just left out.
Amen.
Because you didn't learn. You didn't go through. The Bible says godly sorrow brings about repentance. When you learn to see the sin as negative as God sees it, then repentance is available. Repentance comes after healing. And repentance starts with believing. Let me say it again. Repentance comes after healing. And repentance starts at believing. When you start to believe that God can deliver you, you're on your way to repentance. But repentance has to have its perfect work. Now you need deliverance, then you need healing. So you're in the place where you can build, plant, then you start to see a repentance. Then once your obedience has been fulfilled, then you go out and get others like you so you can show them the roadmap. We are all just beggars trying to show the other beggar where we found the bread.
Amen.
Period. See, this is not complicated at all. We make it more complicated because we want to interject our feelings and our emotions in it. It's not complicated at all. Not complicated at all. So, where am I? So in 29, he said, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. I have leaped over that wall of deliverance. See? I have ran through troops. He says, as for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried. In other words, the word of the Lord is tested. His way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tested. It has been tested, it has been proven, it is true, it is right. You can't get around that. It says he's a buckler to them that, to all those that trust in him. What is a buckler? Something that stands in front of you that whatever comes at you, he just buckles it and it falls to the ground. It bounces right off of it. Most bucklers are called shields. He's a shield to them that trusted him totally. Yeah. So, we have to continue. In 31, it says, for who is God saved the Lord? In other words, for who is God except the Lord? Or, what's it? Okay. Or, who is a rock save our God? So he's asking a question. Who is God except the Lord? Answer the question. No one. Who's a rock that's, who is a rock except our God? Answer the question. No one. So if you believe that, then why would you lean to your own understanding?
That's right.
Why would you go anywhere else? Even if it's not perfect, what's that got to do with your belief? Even if you're wrong, what's that got to do with your belief? Even if you sin, what does that have to do with your belief? Being wrong and being down low and being sinful does not change your belief system. I slipped and I failed and I'm wrong. Okay? Am I supposed to stop following God now? Or I'm supposed to get back up on... You would have never learned to bike if you took that system. You would never have learned to ride that bike if you had took that system. Once you fail, you would have been so caught up in pain that you wouldn't have never got back on the bike.
Amen.
You got to get back on that bike of Jesus and ride him again. 32 said, it is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. So if it is God that does it, why won't you let him? Because we started this with, as for God, his way is perfect. And now we come to the conclusion, it is God that girds me and strengthens me. And girds me with strength and making my way perfect. If it is God that turns my way perfect, then why am I in the way?
Amen.
If our trust is there, then why am I constantly thinking and constantly picking and constantly going around and constantly doing what I want to do? The scripture says, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setting me upon my high places. He teaches me, or teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me a shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy greatness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They have fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength. Thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemy, that I might destroy them that hate me. So you have to understand who God is. And you have to understand what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying, all the things way beyond my understanding has God done for me. He has lifted me. He has protected me. He has girded me. He has girded me with strength, that my way is perfect. And then he starts to explain how his way has been made perfect by the girding of God.
Amen.
Not one time did he say, I did this. He said, he had done this.
Amen.
See, he proclaimed all that God did. In 41, he says, they cry, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. So they cried, and there was none to save them, even the Lord. So did they know the Lord? Or were they total sinners and enemies and didn't know the Lord? No, they knew the Lord, because they cried out to him, but he didn't hear them. He didn't hear them. He heard you. Why? Because you have allowed him to gird you. You followed him and got out of your own way. See? 41. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. And thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the Lord of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou lifted me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Do not tell me what God would not do if you would submit yourself to him. Are we putting God first?
Amen.
Or are we leaning to our own understanding?
Amen.
He goes on to say, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy unto his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. So let me ask you, whose seed are you? Have you come up under Jesus Christ as your banner? And are you of the seed of David? Because Jesus was. And if you are the seed of David, then the Psalms applies to you. If you're just somebody who's in religion and in church, then this does not apply to you. And God would not hear your cry. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And I ask that you bless all those who are up under the sound of my voice. Loving on you, Lord God, with an everlasting love. We ask that you bless your own name in Jesus' name, because we bless you, Lord God. Amen. People, get ready, because he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all you children. People, get ready, because he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all you children. From the bottom of the pit where the evil ones dwell, because they fail, with some like to refer. Hell never unveiled the down scale of the segregated, isolated, degenerated, and investigated committee. Destroy the whole city one by one. Make it kill off each other with a knife or a gun. You having fun, but in the end you'll be judged by the Lord, cause he gave the 10 commandments for you to follow, but you ignored. You living in sin, abomination against the ways of good. Now reading scripture, praying to God, even though you know you should. I try to keep myself together and the Lord I seek it. Trying to treat my people right, listen to everything he's speaking. No, I'm not a teacher, a preacher trying to preach. I'm just speaking up some truth into your souls. I want to reach. So learn about the man upstairs, look, he ain't a stranger, and get right with him, cause if you don't, then you're in danger. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all you children. People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming. Get ready, all you children. Don't feel exempt, come on, attempt to step into the light, because deep in your heart, you know what's wrong, you know what's right. Don't delay, stop acting rich your worldly way, cause once you sell out to the devil, ain't no need to pray. Cause when you die, that's where you lie, and ain't no resurrection. Burning in the lake of fire, left without no protection. Rejection is what the enemy really despises. He tells you what you wanna hear, but you know he good for lies. Rebuke the people stepping, that's your weapon, and it work. It don't matter what they say, it don't matter where he lurk. Watch out for your enemy, watch out for your friend, cause trust gon' get slim as we get closer to the end. So get yourself together, help your fellow brothers out. Stick together through rough weather, that's what it's all about. Your life is tearing you down and bringing sorrow. So pray tonight before you sleep, cause he might come tomorrow.
People, get ready, cause he's coming. He's coming.
What you would do, cause when it's time to get judged, see that's between him and you. Hit your knees and praise the one and only true savior. That's all you're seeing behind closed doors, and yet he forget you. And if you don't commit your life living in sin, then in hell is where you dwell for eternity. And then you're burning fire, and the pain will never cease. Plus, ain't no getting out, though you're begging again at least. There is hope, seven seals and the trumpets blow for peace in heaven and hell on earth. That's how the story's told. Now find your Bible, open it up and get some education. It's all there, loud and clear in the book of Revelation. The bottomless pit,
to the angel of death. You better think about it, but you come up on your last breath. Repent for all your sins, learn to change your evil ways. He coming, prepare, we live in the last days.
Cause he's coming.